So we're back for another round of Beat the Boss with Alicia and Molly, where we have a word amnesty. They're allowed to ask me anything they want with no repercussions, and I have to answer it unprepared with 100% honesty. So go on, girls, do your worst.
So you used to live in Vegas and were an avid poker player.
Mm.
But how much did you win or lose at the table?
I always won, which was the only reason I liked playing. I mean, look, I love the game, but I wouldn't love it as much if I didn't win. And I could always be a consistent winner because I would always put myself in situations where I knew I was going to win, if that makes sense. But I could never win enough money to replace work for me, because I think like anything, you've got to pick your spots in life. And I, you know, had a level of ability that I knew if I put myself in games, I could put myself in games against people who didn't have my level of ability. Now, okay, luck always plays its part, but, you know, 8 times out of 10, 9 times out of 10, skill's always is gonna beat luck. So I typically play in games where I'd buy in for, say, £1,500 to sit down, and it would be my target to win maybe £1,000. And I'd be playing 4, 5, 6 times a week, and I could win £3, £4, £5 grand a week. And I could do that consistently, but I could never replace, you know, if I wanted to make more money, then I would have to play higher stakes. To play higher stakes, it's not just going, oh, instead of buying him for 1500, buying for 15,000, because the people who are playing in that game, they're so much better than me. And I guess I had a level of skill at the poker, but my real skill, if you like, was knowing my place and knowing not to put myself in situations that I couldn't win at. Now, I'm not saying I never played some of those big games, because obviously I did now and again, because they were exciting. I remember walking through the casino one night and Leonardo DiCaprio was playing with a couple of baseball players, and it was a big gap. I forget what I needed, like, I mean, I think it was a 10 grand minimum sit down or something, but they had like 1500 grand in front of them, and I went and played in the game. I was very nervous because it was more money at the time than I'd ever played for, but I just wanted to be able to play in that game and say I'd played in it. But it wouldn't be a normal game. I put myself in that situation to try and win money from. And I think, you know, the same applies to, you know, to anything you're trying to do business wise. That, you know, if you're going to have the ego to it, then you're going to end up fucking up. You know, you want to put yourself in spots that you know you're going to win. You know, compete against competitors that you know you've got the edge to.
Mm. So tangent, what was Leonardo DiCaprio like? Did you speak to him or did you
A little bit. I didn't smell him, no.
I didn't
smell him, but, you know, it was just general banter at the table. You know, we were having a drink, eating a bit of food, playing some cards. He was a nice enough guy. I mean, he could have been anyone, do you know what I mean? If it wasn't him, he could have been anyone.
Yeah, fun. Interesting.
So you also spread yourself across Dubai and Marbella.
Mm.
You could be living anywhere in the world. So why these two places?
I mean, look, I like those two places very much. I was having this conversation with Elena recently because during the summer I'd been in Monaco for a week or two on my own. She'd been in Finland at the same time for a week or two on her own. And I was saying to her, oh, God, I'm loving being back in Monaco. I'm loving being in the south of France. I really miss it here. She was saying, oh, I'm loving being in Finland. I really miss it here. And I think, ultimately, we're spoilt by spending a lot of time in great places. And it's not that I'm saying Marbella is better than somewhere else. I mean, I think Dubai, that's an easy one to do with. I do think Dubai beats everywhere else for me. You know, it ticks the boxes of safety and cleanliness and sunny and so much opportunity for work and such great environment and great people, and you know you can just never get bored. I know, you know, like a lot of people in England like to say, oh, but you know, there's no Yorkshire countryside. Of course there's no fucking Yorkshire countryside, you know, but there's plenty of other things that aren't. And I think, you know, when people think of it as a man-made city with no culture, I mean, that's complete bollocks as well. You know, once you in the very centre of Dubai, just in the same way that if you're in Leicester Square in London, you know, there's nothing there. But once you get, whatever, 5 miles, 10 miles, 50 miles outside, there's, you know, there's desert, there's mountains, there's lakes, there's beauty. It's just a different kind of beauty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there's plenty of culture with, you know, I guess all the Islam stuff and the mosques and all. It's just different culture. Mm-hmm. So I think it really does tick every box. I mean, again, look, it's an expensive place, but, you know, it's the kind of you can't have it always. I mean, if you're paying no tax, they've got to make some money from somewhere. And also, if they're providing all those services, you know, like the fact that everywhere you turn, as soon as someone drops a piece of chewing gum, you know, somebody else is there wiping it up. You know, I mean, all of these services cost money. So, well, that's why I love Dubai. And I can't see it changing for a long time. I don't say it'll never change, because in the same way I moved to Dubai in a heartbeat, I will happily move somewhere else in a heartbeat. I mean, I remember when I moved to Dubai, a lot of people in England would go, oh God, you're moving there. What if you don't like it? Well, if I don't like it, then I'll move back to England or I'll move somewhere else. You know, it was an aeroplane there, it'll be an aeroplane back. It's not really that complicated. In terms of Spain, used to live on the boat in the south of France for the last three years or so. And then when Elena got pregnant, it was a combination of she was pregnant and knew that the next summer she didn't want to bring the baby up on the boat. Mm-hmm. And also we were ready to kill each other. I mean, you know, being in that confined environment, you know, it's a first world problem, but it's a problem all the same. And I think it was just time to get off the boat. Always been to Marbella as a kid, and, you know, older than a kid, you know, love it there. I'm not saying it's the only place. I just, you know, I do love it there. Had the chance to buy a house or buy an apartment bang on the beach, and, you know, I mean, literally it was just kind of all the circumstances came together at the time that we knew we were going to leave France. An agent that used to do some property deals with rang me and said, do you want this mad deal on this absolutely perfect apartment for you in the area you want to be in Spain? And we did it. Again, you know, not to say I'm not going to do something else, but I am also sick of traveling as well, you know. Like, I miss France and she misses Finland and everything, but I do get tired of traveling to all the places, you know, and I would quite happily just have 6 months straight in Dubai and four months straight in Spain and leave it at that. You know, I think we've done, you know, popping here skiing, popping there to visit that person. I do get a bit tired of it. But for now, I love those places. But I think for me, the important thing that I would advise to anyone is just, listen, find the places you like, but have flexibility to not think it's a big deal to move to another country. I mean, like, you know, you've moved to two or three places over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure it's not complicated. I mean, you know, it's just not. I mean, people go, oh, I've got commitments. Well, what people view as commitments very often aren't really commitments, they're just excuses. You know, wives and kids and stuff start to become more of a commitment, but if your wife or your husband is on the same page as you, then you can be doing it together. If they're not on the same page as you, then maybe you shouldn't be together. Mm-hmm. And kids, you know, England isn't the only place with a school. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, if you've got an itch that needs scratching, you've got to take it. And also, if you know that you're looking for something different, looking for something better, you're probably not going to find it in the environment you're in. You know, and again, that's not just for business, it's for everything, you know, even for looking for a relationship or something. You know, people make jokes about, oh, all the best girls are in Miami, or all the best looking guys are in LA, or whatever it is. And, you know, maybe that's what it is. I mean, if you've grown up in some small town in Lancashire, probably not going to find any Fitbirds. Yeah. and you know, you're gonna, if you want to marry a hottie, you're gonna have to make a move somewhere. And it's, you know, it's a humorous analogy or parallel or something, but it's the same. If you want to meet big business people, you're not going to meet them in, you know, I don't know, probably not in Leeds, even though it's a big place, you know. And if you want to meet the best girls or famous people or whatever it is you want for your life or your business, you need to relocate, and you've got to be prepared to relocate and just realize it's not a big deal, you know. Have suitcase, we'll travel.
Mm. Yeah. I'm talking about an itch that might need scratching.
Oof.
Is there an industry that you haven't kind of dipped your toe into, or
I feel like I've done everything,
or want to get involved in that you haven't already invested in? Or
probably not really. I think if anything, I've done too many things. I don't know. I never regret any of the things I've done, because they've all been learning experiences. I mean, I've lost plenty of money and plenty of things, and it'd be very easy for people to say, oh, well, you shouldn't have done that, then you wouldn't have lost that money, and you shouldn't have done that, and you shouldn't have lost that money. But they've all been learning experiences that have kind of led me onto something else. I mean, there's nothing that springs to mind that I want to do. There's plenty of things I haven't done, but I have not done them for a reason. You know, like, I don't have a knowledge at all of tech and science and engineering and, you know, things that to me are very complicated, my simple little mind. So, you know, I don't do them, but I've not missed doing them.
Mm.
I think, you know, you've got to, I mean, I got a question from somebody on Instagram yesterday that I've been meaning to make a video about today, where he was saying that he's just got divorced. He's got 50 grand, and this guy's with his wife. They built up a few houses, some kind of Airbnbs and buy to lets. And now he's got divorced. He said, "I'm living my best life. I'm single, and I've got 50 grand, and I need to go and invest it and do something with it. I'm thinking about opening a bar. What do you think?" I said, "I've not got around to making the video yet. Maybe this one will double up." But you know, my advice to him was going to be, "Don't fucking do it." You know, like you know, 50 grand, and I don't say it in a disrespectful way, but like 50 grand's not much money. And for him, it's obviously everything he's got, an important amount of money, and he should only be doing it with something he knows and understands. You know, he's already got a good thing going with the properties. You know, he's done 4 or 5. He needs to be getting to 40, 50, 100 before he even thinks about doing something else. If he really wants to be doing something else, and some of that 50 grand should be spent on his education, you know, whether it's taking courses or learning or however he's going to do it. But yeah, I think, you know, a big mistake people make is doing too many things too soon, spreading themselves too thin, and always trying to follow the next fad. You know, particularly things like, you know, crypto, or, you know, I mean, for some people it's property. Other people are fantastic in property and should stay in it. Somebody else has just fucked up in this yesterday. Says, "I'll do property tomorrow. I'll do social media next week. I'll do crypto the week after." Ultimately, you know, you can make big money in anything. I mean, in absolutely anything. Okay, you might not be able to make billions in anything, but you know, everyone can make, you know, a very good lifestyle, if not a very, you know, very financially enviable lifestyle from pretty much any business you want to go in, if you spend enough time to, you know, to learn it and understand it and concentrate on it.
That's interesting. And who was the best person you loaned to, and what was the outcome?
The best person I loaned to? Well, I guess the best person I loaned to is somebody who actually paid me back on time, which is such a rarity, I can't even think. Because, you know, invariably the people that I do lend to, there's always some kind of story or some kind of quirk around them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be coming to me to borrow. And I say me, you know, I'm not unique. You know, let's say, you know, lenders in my space of the market, you know, we're there to solve problems because other lenders aren't doing what we're doing. Now, it doesn't, just because other lenders aren't doing it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad loan. They might just need money very quickly. I mean, I've had a lot of borrowers who are very, very clean borrowers, who a bank or someone would happily deal with, but that borrower needs the money in 2 days' time, and you know, it's going to take 2 months for the bank to do it. And then the other side, other kind of borrowers we've got, is where the banks would never do it because, you know, it's a sector that's unfavorable, or the director or the shareholder's got some kind of dodgy past. You know, maybe it's a guy who's had lots of failed businesses and lots of adverse press on Google, but he's now got a new business that he's got a good track record on, that's got some good assets or some good way for us to secure our money. You know, I look at the positives, that it's a good business now, there's clear track record on that good business, there's security for us to take if it all goes wrong. That's how we're getting our money back. Therefore, I'm not going to start getting, you know, touchy about the past. Whereas, you know, for the more mainstream banks or mainstream lenders, it doesn't matter how good it is now, because they had a, you know, a missed British Telecom bill in 1993. You know, that's enough to kill the whole deal. So, like I said, for various reasons, there's always going to be something that makes all of our borrowers interesting. But I think, you know, and I think that's what you have to, I think when you lend anyone money, as much as obviously every deal you do, you've thought of a way that you think you're going to get paid back, you still have to go into it expecting not to get, I don't mean expecting not to get paid back, because obviously if you've taken security, that's how you're ultimately going to get paid back. But you've got to go in expecting problems. And because otherwise, you know, you're going to be very stressed and very disappointed when they come. And, you know, I sometimes get novice investors, or, you know, so first time investors who want to invest with us, because our business model is very simple. You know, we raise money from investors and we lend it to the borrowers, but we do all the management and arrangement in the middle. And, you know, typically we'll be paying an investor, you know, 12% a year on the money, and we'll be lending it to a borrower at 20, 24%. Now, any investor who's getting 12% on the money has to know they're getting that 12% for, or rather should know they're getting that 12% for a reason. know, they're getting it because there's a level of risk or there's a level of uncertainty or whatever it may be. And, you know, very often, you know, we'll get, I'll get people ringing me up saying, this is ridiculous. You know, we've lent to this borrower and the money's 4 days late. Oh, no shit. You know, I mean, obviously I didn't know it was going to be 4 days late. Otherwise, we would never have lent to him. But we also have to expect that there's going to be problems. You know, the reason you're getting your 12% is because you're investing in something that's a bit more uncertain, a bit more high risk. Yes, we believe your capital's protected because it's secured against an asset at the end. That if it all goes wrong, we've got a way to go and take that asset back and get you your money back. But there may be ups and downs along the way. If you haven't got the stomach for the ups and downs, then you should be putting your money in the bank at 4% and letting it get eroded by inflation. Mm. So I think, yeah, you know, like everyone else's business always looks better than your own because you don't know that you don't see the problems and you don't see what goes on. But yeah, lending money is fraught with problems. I think it's also you know, something where, you know, you get to see. Well, I say interesting sides of people, probably the true side of people, because, you know, when someone can't pay you back, you know, all the stories and all the truths come out.
Mm. What's the best advice you could give to your former, the younger self?
Best advice to my younger self? I mean, well, the best advice I would say I can give to anybody nowadays starting a business is I always say, remember that you know nothing. Now, I mean, I don't think I was arrogant as a you know, a younger business person. I think, you know, I was still hungry to learn. I certainly didn't know about it in a formal capacity like now. Like, I often get asked who my mentors were and stuff when they were younger, and I kind of had them accidentally. You know, there'd be people I'd ask questions of, there'd be people I'd look up to, but I didn't formally understand the concept of mentorship, where I'm not thinking, oh, I need to go out today and find a mentor in this space or find a mentor in that space. But I think probably the biggest mistake I made younger was trying to do everything on my own. Not so much do everything on my own, but own everything on my own. You know, I was the 100% shareholder of everything, and I always wanted to be the 100% shareholder of everything. And I think, you know, as time's gone on, I've very much learnt that I can go a lot farther by having a smaller piece of a bigger pie, and that, you know, it's not a blow to my ego that I only own 50% of something, not 100% of something. And you know, I'm somehow going to need to incentivize great people if I want to get them around me. So I think, understand the value of partnerships.
And if you could have anything in the world, what would it be?
A good night's sleep. A good night's sleep and a day without my telephone. Listen, I'm not a complicated person. You know, yes, obviously do nice things and spend money on various trappings and stuff, but I also don't give a fuck about them. You know, like, I'm most happiest with a Nando's and a Netflix. You know, I go to fancy restaurants and things like that, but ultimately I probably, maybe not 5 years ago, but now, you only ever see me in a fancy restaurant now because I'm taking someone else that wants to be in that fancy restaurant. Now, whether that's Elena, because she does, like, you know, she's still young enough to only want fancy things, or whether it's an investor or some kind of client dinner. But, you know, if I was going for dinner with you two tonight, my personal choice, maybe you want to go somewhere, so fine, we'll go there. But my personal choice would absolutely not be some celebrity restaurant. It would be, it would be, you know, Nando's or Byron Burger or something. You know, yeah. I just like simplicity. Mm. You know? So normally, I ask all the guests at the end of my podcast some quick fire questions. You know, who was a favorite influence? You know, what's the biggest lesson they've learned? But today the tables are turned and the girls are putting me on the spot with my quick fire questions.
So we'll start off with the classic, pasta or pizza?
If I had to pick one, it would be pasta. I do love pasta. But, I mean, it's a hard choice. I mean, if I was picking pizza, I'd be saying stuffed crust. I mean, I'm not a huge pizza fan, but I love Pizza Hut stuffed crust pizzas. And I do it like you should do on the advert and turn it around and eat the stuffed crust first.
Cardio or weights?
I'm going to say weights. I mean, I know the answer is I should be doing both. I mean, I think weights is easier to do. You know, cardio always feels super hard. But I guess the proper answer is you do need to do both, because there's no point being big if you're covered in fat, and there's no point being lean if you've got no muscle on you. But if I had to pick one, I'll do some weights.
Eat in or take out?
Take out. Take out. I need it at home.
Hublot or Rolex?
Rolex because I mean I've got both. I do love the Hublots, but the resale value of Rolexes is so much better. And whilst I don't buy watches to make money, I'd rather not lose money. But listen, Hublots have got some really funky styles, but Rolexes will always stand the test of time.
Yacht or private jet life?
Private jet all day long, because I fucking hate people. and I hate travel. And yachts are lovely, but I would happily go on a Butlin's cruise if I flew there by a private jet. I just hate being in airports. You know, it takes so much time. It's so uncomfortable. It ruins a travel experience, and also it does waste so much time as well. I would happily give up so many other areas of my spending to leave money left over for private jet travel. And I know, you know, sometimes people say things like, well, oh, you know, you've spent that on that, but you won't spend that on that. And I think that's a stupid way to look at things. You know, just because you're happy to spend big on one thing doesn't mean you should spend big on everything. And you're like, for example, I'm not precious about hotel rooms. You know, of course I like nice hotels, but I don't need to stay in the best hotel with the biggest suite. You know, like, certainly if I'm on my own, I just get like a decent double. And if I'm traveling with Elena or something, I'll still get a decent double. You know, we never get suites and things like that because, you know, you're not in the room. And even if you are in the room, what you're doing, you're lying in bed watching a movie or something. Mm-hmm. But I like to spend money on things that really make a difference for me. And I can't tell you how much I fucking hate commercial aeroplanes.
It's not fun.
Beach life or pool parties?
Beach life. I mean, I'm too old for pool parties now.
Elon Musk or Idris Elba?
They're two wildly different people with absolutely no relationship to each other whatsoever, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, Idris Elba is just, he's just really cool, isn't he? He's the epitome of cool. I mean, Elon's obviously a phenomenal businessman with an unbelievable mind. I also get the impression he's got a screw loose. But, you know, then again, you know, which uber successful people haven't got some kind of screw loose to get them where they are. But I think I'd pick it. I'd be Idris. If you're saying who do I want to be, I'd be Idris because I, you know, from a monetary perspective, I mean, you only need X amount of money, and I'm sure Idris has got enough money to be able to do most of the things he wants to do. But he's definitely gonna have a much cooler life.
Neon pink or baby pink?
Oh, neon pink. That's a man's pink. Baby pink for girls.